Back at Dealey Plaza, it was a scene of confusion. Some spectators said the shots were fired from the book depository. Some said they came from behind the picket fence at the rail yard. Dozens of people had charged up the now-famous grassy knoll in search of the assassin. A few pointed to an upper window of the Texas School Book Depository. Near the overpass, spectator James Teague reached up and felt something moist on his cheek. It was blood. Looking down, he saw a divot in the curb where a bullet had struck, chipping away a piece of concrete that apparently struck his face. As the echo of the last shots faded, Dallas police officer Marion Baker jumped off his motorcycle and rushed up the steps of the depository. Encountering building manager Roy Truly, the two headed for the elevators, only to find they were stopped on the top floor. Running up the stairs, Baker caught sight of a man in the small second-floor lunchroom. Drawing his gun, he approached the man, Lee Harvey Oswald, who had a soft drink bottle in his hand. When Truly told Baker Oswald worked in the building, the two left Oswald and continued their search. Oswald quickly left the building and boarded a bus. After the bus moved slowly for a couple of blocks, he got off asking for a transfer. He then walked in a different direction to the bus station, where he took a cab to his rooming house in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. Oswald's rooming house was at 1020 Beckley Street, but curiously, Oswald asked the driver to let him out in the 500 block of Beckley and walked the remaining 5 blocks. He entered the house almost precisely at 1 p.m. The housekeeper is sure because she remembered that a network radio newscast began almost at the same time Oswald arrived. Hearing a car horn, the housekeeper peered out the window and said she saw a Dallas police cruiser out front. It was gone when Oswald emerged from his room moments later. She said the last time she saw Oswald, he was standing at a bus stop near the house a few minutes after 1 p.m. Between 1:10 p.m. and 1:15 p.m. at 10th and Patton Streets, 13 blocks from Oswald's rooming house, Dallas police officer J.D. Tippett, one of the few Dallas policemen not at Dealey Plaza or Parkland Hospital, was shot and killed by a man witnesses said fled the scene on foot. Around 1:30 p.m. at Hardy's Shoe Store, less than 6 blocks from the murder scene, store manager Johnny Brewer was listening to radio coverage of the assassination when he heard the report of a shooting of a Dallas policeman in his neighborhood. At that moment, he said he heard sirens from approaching police cars and looked up to see a nervous and disheveled young man who had ducked into his store. As the police cars passed, he said the man left the store and walked quickly down the sidewalk. Thinking he was acting suspiciously, Brewer said he followed the man to the Texas Theater, where he entered without buying a ticket. Brewer told a theater employee to call the police. A short time later, with police surrounding the theater, Oswald was arrested, taken to police headquarters, and charged with Tippett's murder. Back at Dealey Plaza, police found a rifle with telescopic sight hidden on the 6th floor of the school book depository. Around the southeast window, someone had stacked book boxes to create a sniper's nest. On the floor beneath the window were 3 spent cartridges. Almost from the beginning, police suspected Oswald of also killing the president, and later that evening he was formally charged. Despite a day and a half of intense interrogation, Oswald denied killing anyone. Amazingly, there are no recordings or transcripts from Oswald's interrogation. Oswald repeatedly asked for legal counsel, but refused the services of volunteers from the Dallas Bar Association. Instead, he made unsuccessful efforts to reach John Abt, an attorney in New York who had successfully represented the American Civil Liberties Union in a case against the FBI. The media, meanwhile, quickly reported details about Oswald. He was a 24-year-old former U.S. Marine who had defected to the Soviet Union in 1959. Living there for more than 2 years before returning to Dallas with his Russian wife Marina and a small child. On Sunday morning, November 24th, as Oswald was being transferred from the Dallas Police Jail to the county jail, a Dallas nightclub operator and police groupie named Jack Ruby, who had been hanging around the police station since Oswald's arrest, lunged from the crowd and killed Oswald with a single shot from a revolver. there would be no trial for Lee Harvey Oswald at which the facts of the case could be determined. Now, the facts would take on a life of their own.